Book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. I could not leave that what we were talking about last week without getting to the bridegroom. And so I pray today God will help us as we endeavor to look at this. I don't know exactly how we'll get with it or where we'll go with it, but I know God has dealt with my heart about it. We'll go as far as God leads this morning. But if you'd turn in chapter 5, verse 8, chapter 5 and verse number 8, Song of Solomon, maybe Solomon's Song in your Bible, but however it's titled, it's that book, the wisdom. Stand please while I read. Chapter 5, verse number 8. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Now that pause there to say this. Wasn't saying that she was tired of it. It was saying that she was lovesick. She so loved him that she was of what we would call love sick. Love struck. If you see Bren and Clay together, you know they're love struck. That's what I'm talking about. That's how she felt. She wanted to see her beloved. Verse 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? We're going to stop reading there. And our thought today is this. What is my beloved more than any other beloved? My beloved is more than any other beloved. And I pray that God will help us here today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And all the prayers that have gone up for those that are in need and sick and families and situations, we join with them in prayer. But Father, we ask you right now that you help us dismiss from our minds everything outside of this precious word of God that talks about our beloved. And Father, I realize the fact that I'll never exhaust that subject, but I pray today the Holy Ghost would touch us to preach. And help us, Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for all that you do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. What is thy beloved more than any other beloved? Last week, and I want you to turn back to chapter 6 and verse number 13. While you're turning there, let me say this. I reminded you last week that the book of Song of Solomon is not in chronological order, but it's made up of different songs that were written, and it's all about the Shulamite woman and the shepherd boy man, and who was King Solomon, and then how they fall in love and they get together. And this is a Shulamite there saying about her beloved. And last week in verse number 13, chapter 6, and again, let me say this before I read that verse. I believe the Song of Solomon is all about Jesus Christ and the bride, which is the church. I believe it's a beautiful picture of love between God and the church, between Christ and his church. And Solomon went as a shepherd. They fall in love. When we see the Savior, he's crucified. He's our sin put upon him and marred more than the other man. But when he comes back to get us, he's coming back in glory and honor. And Shulamite learned that. But look at verse number 13. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, what that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? And we talked last week about the Shulamite woman and her salvation, her sinfulness as she confessed and her getting right with God and as it was, and her sanctification set apart, and then her sincerity and her longing for the Lord. She loved him. She listened for his voice. She longed to see him, and she longed to be with him. Now we're in chapter number 5, and see her beloved that she was so longing to see, so longing to hear. She had a desire. And we today, if we're right with God, we long to see him and to be with him that saved us by his marvelous grace. And as days go by, the longer we live, the more we long to see him and to be with him. And so here we see the Shulamite, so lovesick that she's longing for him, and charges the daughters of Jerusalem and said to them, if you find my beloved, that you may tell him that I'm sick of love, I'm lovesick. And then they asked the question, what is thy beloved more than any other beloved? What makes you so excited about your beloved? What makes you so think he's so precious and so real? And she answers him, look, verse number 10. My beloved is white and ruddy. What she's saying is, my beloved is pure without sin. My beloved is healthy. And when you're pure without sin, there's health. And so he's saying he's like that. And then said he's the chiefest among 10,000. And said he's better than 10,000 others. His head is the most fine gold. You remember Nebuchadnezzar made an image and head was him, fine gold. But I want you to know that image, there was a rock cut out without hands that marred that and tore it. But Jesus is a head of gold that shall never be marred nor put down. His head, he's in charge. Amen. He's in charge. And then said his locks are bushy and black as a raven. That is eternal youth. I'm glad I'm going to a place where they're going to be eternal youth. Somebody said today, I wish I was young. I believe Sister Mary talking about going to vision. Said, I wish I was young so I could get involved in that. And I tell you, it makes a difference as the years come and go. But in heaven, we're going to be eternal youth. Amen. Praise God for that. But he is that. He's eternal youth. His eyes are the eyes of the doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. Let me say this. His eyes sees everything. Everything. I'll show you over in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, discerning of thoughts and intents of the heart. But verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What he's saying is you can't hide anything from God. And there's nothing hid from his eyes. And she's talking about him, how he looks. And he's looks so wonderful, better than 10,000. And his eyes are washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. Saying that now he's just really lovely. And said, no man ever spake like this man. That's what they said when they sent the soldiers to get him. They came back without him. And said, no man ever spake like this man spake. He spake and said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He spake and saved people. Praise God. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly as one bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. Talking about his beauty. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of gold, and his countenance is at Lebanon, excellent in the cedars. Saying he's powerful. That's him. She's trying to describe him. His mouth is most sweet. Yeah, he's altogether. She got so wrapped up in him, trying to describe him, they said, yea, he's altogether lovely. And said, this is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. She was trying to describe him, and she talked about his body. She talked about his eyes, his mouth, and she's going through all of that. And she got so excited, said, this is my beloved. And couldn't go. She didn't know what else to say about him. This is my beloved. The other day I was thinking about this, and I thought about all that she said and how real that is. But I want to give you three or four or five things that I saw in this. When I read this and talked about what is my beloved more than any other beloved, I began to think about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach him today. You never go wrong preaching Jesus. He's always lovely. Amen. And today, as I read that scripture, it touched my heart and blessed my soul so much. What is my beloved my Savior, my friend, that one that we sing about, we talk about, we preach about. What makes him more than any other beloved? What makes him more than any other God, little God, G, but he's a big God, G. And what makes him better than Buddha? What makes him better than Mohammed? What makes him better? I got to think about it. Let me say, first of all, his existence. Amen, his existence. He said one day, Moses said, I am that I am. Now, what does that mean? That's a personal pronoun, I, and the verb tense being a present tense of a being. And so he said, I am. He didn't say, I have been, I'm now, and going to be. He just said, I am that I am. And that's an eternal presence. And you say, preacher, what does that mean? That means that Jesus, one time talking there, and they questioned him, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, well, you're not yet 50 years old. But he was, amen. He was before Abraham. He is a great I am that I am. Excellent in his existence. Hey, what's your beloved more than your beloved? Because he's forever and forever existed. There's no beginning to him and no ending to him. He just is. You said, preacher, I thought he was born in Bethlehem. He did become a man in Bethlehem. That was not his beginning. That was not beginning of him. And I say to you now, praise God, he stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And Jesus Christ has all, he knew before the world ever came into being that he would be crucified on the cross of Calvary. He is an eternal present one that knows everything that ever will happen, everything that ever has happened, and everything that's happening right now. You say, preacher, how can that be? I cannot tell you that. All I can say to you that we move in a different dimension with him because he, now they was a beginning with Mohammed. They was a beginning with Buddha. But I want you to tell you tonight, my beloved is better than their beloved because he is forever and forever. He has no beginning. He's eternal being that we cannot describe, nor cannot fully grasp in our little old minds the eternalness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you today that he is eternal. And I don't know how to explain it to you. I can't take it in. I can't understand it. I cannot do anything except believe that Jesus Christ has and always has been, always will be. I am that I am. What's your beloved? More than any beloved. He's in his existence. He's better than any beloved there's ever been. I say hallelujah. We didn't come to worship somebody that was born one time. That was it. Jesus became a man. That wasn't his beginning. He always had been. Inhabits eternity. I can't understand eternity. I can't understand Jesus Christ forever being. Everything we know has a beginning and an ending. But in this world, that is. But with Jesus, there is no beginning. There is no end. He just is. Hallelujah. That's enough. Make you want to shout glory, hallelujah. He is, amen. We're serving a great God. My beloved, greater than any other beloved. I want to tell you something else. He's the greatest power there is. Amen. He. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And with all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as a glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I say to you today, what's your beloved more than any other beloved? Well, ain't no one eternal in his existence, but thank God. I want you to know he has all power. He has more power than all that's ever started in religion. Any man that's ever lived, he had the power. Amen. He spoke and the world came into existence. He reached into nothing and got something. And I say hallelujah and praise God. And the Lamb, you say, preacher, I can't understand. I can't either, but I believe that. I believe it with all my heart that God, through Jesus Christ, he is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are three in one. One true God manifested as Father, as Son, and as Spirit. He created the Spirit moved upon the darkness in Genesis chapter 1. But I'm telling you, the Trinity was involved in it. God said, let us make man in our image. And I'm telling you today, he's the creator of all things. Amen. I want you to know you came by the creation of Almighty God into this world. What is your beloved more than the other? He has all power. He created everything that there is, holds it all together. And we think today that man can control things. Why, the Mississippi River is just flooding out. Man can't control that. And God's in control of that. The wind comes through, storms came through, tore down. I was talking to some today, what happened up in Lake Springs, Virginia, but they have a son lives up in Chilhowee, and they've been up there, and what was tore up and how tore things down. I'm telling you, man can't control that, but my beloved does. I tell you something else my beloved does. Has the power to heal. Amen. He can heal if he wants to heal. I want you to know today that there's not anything that God cannot heal. And do if he said, if the lepers came by, he healed them by his power. The blind man cried out, he healed him by his power. And the lame man came by, or he didn't come by, Jesus came by him, cried out, and Jesus healed him by his power. He has all power. But I want to say this today. Thank God he has power to save. Amen. Power to save. I thought about what Brother Taylor was saying a while ago about his brother. Thank God, I'm glad Jesus can come by and save you. You say, preacher, I'm hooked up on drugs. I'm hooked up on alcohol. I'm hooked up on this. I'm out in a world that is filthy and dirty. I know somebody, my beloved, can be your beloved and set you free. You don't have to be in that mess. You don't have to be controlled by that. But God can set you. Say, preacher, I've tried to quit. I've tried to get away from this. I've tried this and I've tried that. Let me tell you, you can't do it, but I know one who can. When he, the power of God come by. What's your beloved more than any other? He has the power to save, power to redeem us, power to make us a difference. Amen. I'm glad for the power of the Lord. My beloved, what's your beloved? Better than any other beloved. He's eternal existence. In his existence, I can't explain. He's eternal. He's I am that I am. In his power, he created everything, made man. But oh, thank God he has the power to save. And today, these people here was alcoholics, people that were drug addicts, people that messed up in sex and all that kind of stuff. But God set them free. I'm glad Jesus has the power to set you free. Then if you never mixed up in all that stuff, took just as much of the blood, just as much of the power of God to set you free as it did the others. Amen. All of us born and come in the world to sin, but thank God Jesus has the power to save sinners. And I'm glad for that. Let me say number three. Hey, my beloved better than the other beloved, because no beloved ever loved like my beloved. Amen. I praise God for that. Hey, he's the one that loved beyond measure. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Love of God. You can't explain the love of God. Song he sings about the love of God. If the ocean were ink and the sky were parchment made, and every man on earth a scribe and had a quill, ever stalk a quill, we couldn't write the love of God. The ink would run out of the oceans. Amen. The men couldn't write enough parchment. To write the love of God is impossible. I'm telling you, nobody ever loved like God loved. Had a gay-pie kind of love. He loved us while we were unlovable. Amen. We love those who, most of the time, who love us and who give us back love and fellowship and all of that, agree with us. But oh, when we was out there in disagreement and we was running from God and we were disobeying God and away from God, he still loved us with an undying love. Reached out there where we were loved and picked us up and brought us into him and hugged us up. I say, thank God. Hey, nobody ever loved you like Jesus loves you. It doesn't make any difference how far away you got, where you got to. Jesus still loved you. You can't get away from the love of God. He's everywhere. Amen. Hey, somebody sitting in the bar this morning and the love of God still, he loves him and cares about him. Hey, some ought to be here today. It's not here. But God still loves him. And I'm telling you, nobody ever loved me like God loved me and gave himself for me. He died on the cross of Calvary that I might be saved. I praise God for that. Let me give you a little story. I've given it many times. You've heard it. Many of you have. Some may not have. But there's years ago, the story goes that they had a school. And they had some boys in it that nobody could control. They absolutely were uncontrollable. And this is back many years ago. And so finally they sent a man in and told him about the school. So he decided he'd go at it a different approach. And he said, we're going to make some rules, but I'm not going to make them. I'm going to let you make them. The boy, they perked up on that. They thought that'd be good. But then they began to think, as they made the rules, they began to think, well, maybe we better make some good rules. That is about lying. Anybody lies, they get 10 stripes across their back with their coat off. Then said, let's make another rule. If anybody steals, they get the same punishment. Then they went on through some other things that they talked about and made their own rules. So one day in school, somebody had stole Big Tom's something out of his lunch pail. And the teacher asked each one of them, did you steal that out of his lunch pail? Went through it boy by boy. Finally, there came a little boy they called Jim. And said, little Jim, did you have anything to do with that? He bowed his head. Said, yes, I did. I took something out of Big Tom's lunch pail. The teacher said, well, y'all made the rules, and you know what we have to do. But little Jim said, yes, sir. Had on his coat. Teacher said, get up, and we're going to take the switch and do what y'all said ought to be done. So little Jim got up, and he wasn't very big at all. And teacher said, take your coat off. He said, please don't make me take my coat off. He said, the rule is that the coat has to be removed and shirt, and we'll not your shirt removed, but be in your shirt, and we'll stripe you. With tears in his eyes, he took his coat off. Teacher said, where's your shirt? He had no shirt on. He said, teacher, I don't have but one shirt. My mama said, just keep my coat on today, and she'd wash my shirt. I could have one tomorrow. The teacher about broke, but he said, well, you know the punishment. And Big Tom stood up about that time and said, teacher, said, when we made these rules, we didn't say anything about that somebody could take the place of the one that was to be striped. The teacher said, Big Tom, you're right. We made no rule that it could not somebody be substituted for. He said, teacher, I'll take little Jim's place. Little Jim stepped aside, said, teacher, I was hungry. We don't have much at my house, and I did take it. Big Tom said, lay the stripes on me. I'll take them. The teacher laid the stripes on Big Tom. Little Tim stood there and cried. When they got through, he went around Big Tom's neck and said, thank you for taking my place. Thank you for caring enough about me that you'd do that. But Big Tom looked at him and said, listen, little Jim, anytime you want anything out of my lunch pail, you may have it. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did for me one day. He loved me so much that he went to the cross of Calvary, took my place, paid my price, took my stripes. But not only that, but he said, now I've got a pail full of things. I said, I'll meet all you need. I'll help you all the way. I'll keep you all the way. I'll take you all the way to heaven. And you don't have to give up. Thank God we have somebody that loves us enough to do us that way. Amen. I'm glad today. Thank God it's better than a lunch pail. He's got everything. He's got a supply. He said, God, my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory. I say today, thank God he'll help us. He'll help us that are saved if we have a need. And if you're having a problem in family, if you're having a problem with somebody, you're having difficulties here, you're having difficulties there, and your own life is a difficult, I'm telling you, we got a God that loves us. But let me say to you that are unsaved, there's a God that loves you enough to save you today and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Nobody ever loved you like Jesus. But let me say, my beloved, what's your beloved more than any other beloved? He's a conqueror from Calvary that has conquered more than anybody else's beloved ever conquered. He conquered this life, in fact, that he never sinned in it. He lived as a man in this world, and there's never any sin in him. Till he went to the cross of Calvary, and there wasn't any sin in him. Our sin was placed on him. Never a man like that conquered that. But not only did he do that, but he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and walked out victorious. But the devil, he conquered him. You remember why he lived? The devil tried to tempt him one day when he'd been out there in the wilderness and fasting. And he said, "Why don't you turn these stones to bread?" Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God proceedeth out of his mouth." The devil tempted him, took him on a pinnacle of the temple. He said, "Why don't you cast yourself down and prove who you are?" He said, "There's written, angels will bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." He said, "It's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." He wouldn't do that. Then he took him up on a great mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. And said, "If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms." And Jesus said, "It's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou worship." You know what Jesus did? He conquered the devil. Then in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I believe the victory was really won there. He went to Calvary and paid the price. But in the garden, as he was praying, his sweat became as great drops of blood. And there he's saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." As he faced the cross of Calvary and faced the awfulness of being separated from God the Father and taking our sin and paying our price. He's the greatest conqueror that ever lived. He's conquered more than every army ever conquered, any king that ever lived. He is a conqueror of conquerors. He conquered it all. Now, won't you let him just be the conqueror in your life? Let you live. I'm going to close it with that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the conqueror. Thank you for the one that we can't explain his existence, but we believe him and trust him. Thank you for the one that has all power in heaven and in earth. Thank you for the one that loved us like no other beloved ever loved. And thank you for that one that conquered all that other beloveds cannot conquer. Lord, today the devil's a defeated foe. Death is a defeated foe. Hell's a defeated foe if we'll let the conqueror conquer everything in us. I pray in Jesus' name today in this invitation that people that are saved, that have things in their lives, they know they need to come to Jesus and let him help them with that their beloved may be more than ever any other beloved. I pray you'd help them to come. And I pray for those who are unsaved today. Every boy, every girl, every man, every woman that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ and realizes they're lost, Father, I pray today be the day they let Jesus be their beloved and come to know him. I pray in his name and for his glory. Amen.